Shalom, shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my wife and devoted Bible teacher, Sheila, who will be speaking in a moment. But first, as we always do, Abba, Father, we praise you as we ask for your blessing tonight. We lift up to your throne the many prayer requests recently given to us, as well as the petitions of those listening right now, especially for the salvation of our loved ones. For we know you always hear the prayers of the righteous, and may this teaching tonight be to your glory as we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. While we anxiously await your soon trumpet call, we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, dear. Of course. All right, well, you know, the latest history-making news is the New World Order's victory of the Iran deal. Prior to negotiations, President Obama promised Congress they could view the completed deal before taking it internationally. But he went back on his word, knowing the UN Security Council would approve, which would put more pressure on Congress to go along with the deal that gives Iran more power, not less. Israel, who had no say in its contents, is very frustrated. But actually, as more details come out, America is put in more danger as well. So yes, perhaps the nuclear bomb is put on hold, if they don't cheat. But this deal lifts the arms embargo to allow Iran to purchase ICBMs, that's intercontinental ballistic missiles. Keyword, intercontinent, that can easily reach America, and Russia has already agreed to sell them. Iran is not taking back any of its threats to attack us or Israel. This deal doesn't even free our four hostages or allow for on-the-spot inspections. Really. It also says that we will no longer supply weapons to the anti-Assad rebel fighters, as we have in the past. So Assad stays. And of course, that was a no-brainer since Syria and Iran are close allies, along with Russia. It says that the United States will help to safeguard Iran's nuclear plants and facilities against any attack, outside disruption, or sabotage. This commitment makes null and void the previous U.S. pledge to leave the military option over Iran on the table. But most of all, it ties Israel's hands for crippling any covert Iranian nuclear weapons program. In other words, we would take sides against Israel if necessary. Did you hear that? Now just add that to the sodomy laws and as well what Planned Parenthood is doing to aborted babies. Oh, saints, the tribulation judgment has to be so close.
Very close indeed. And didn't the Ayatollah make a comment to Obama like, wasn't it fun to surrender to Iran?
Yes, that's what I understand to be very true. Oh, it's just amazing. So our Congress is now looking it over, this deal. But if they do reject it, Obama will just veto it, and then Congress will need even more votes, like two-thirds, to repeal it. And honestly, since the international community has unanimously endorsed it, it's unlikely our Congress will even try, especially since many are on the take. I'm sad to say that, but it's just true.
Yeah, but, you know, they should at least try to revise it, but that's a tough one, two-thirds.
I know. And the lifting of sanctions will at least benefit the good common folk in Iran, for they will now be allowed to sell their goods abroad, which will help the small businessman. But watch out, Israel, because Bible prophecy continues front and center. For remember, it is prophesied in Ezekiel 38 that Persia, which is now Iran, will attack Israel along with Russia, Turkey, and a few others. So in reality, we know it has to be this way. It's sort of like a Revelation 10 verse 9 moment. You know, when John eats the scroll and it is bitter, but it's also sweet. As Jesus also said in Matthew 24, these things must happen. So, as Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, let's encourage each other as we see the day approaching.
And boy, do we seeing it approach.
Amen. So anyhow, Iran has to be powerful, and then their increased pride will move them forward to the ultimate battle. You know, when God steps in to save Israel, and then they as a nation will receive the real Messiah. Check out Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22 for confirmation on that point. Anyway, that will happen in the first half of the tribulation. That's why it's called Jacob's trouble. Maybe I'm thinking the second year, and the Messianic Jews will quickly now study Matthew and will know what to do when they see the abomination of desolation sitting in the temple. I'm talking of the Antichrist declaring himself God and demanding worship. Then as Matthew 24:15 says, they will flee Jerusalem quickly into the mountainous wilderness where God protects them during the last half of the tribulation. And in Revelation 12, that confirms it as well. Check out verse 14.
But only the Jews in Judah will flee. What about the others up in the north by Tel Aviv?
Well, yes, there will be some left up there because the Antichrist, also called the dragon in Revelation 12, John states that when he sees he cannot get to those fleeing south, John records that the Antichrist is enraged about that, so actually gives up his pursuit north instead to make war with the rest of them, who, John confirms, are all saved.
Praise God.
Having the testimony of Jesus Christ in verse 17. Now, so I'm not clear on how many Jews are still living other than the protected ones having the seal of God, known as the 144,000, of course, who by this time have permeated into other nations to preach the good news, to fulfill Matthew 24:14, where it says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come. So that doesn't have to happen before the rapture.
Good thing Matthew's first. So back to today, how does ISIS fit into all this?
Yes, another question that came in last week, but first let's tell our listeners how they too can ask their eschatological question.
Big word. Okay, you can send your question, Sheila, at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning pleasure. Reminder, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with a timely Bible study. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
Thank you. All right, back to ISIS. Well, ISIS right now is really getting too close to Israel on quite a few of their borders, like the Golan Heights, which is in the northeast, and in Gaza on the west, and Egypt's Sinai on the south. And along its eastern side lies Jordan, which Israel thinks is just a matter of time before ISIS is on that border too. So they are in the process of erecting a 18-mile-long, 5-foot-high fence, similar to the high-tech barrier that separates Israel and Egypt. It'll have surveillance cameras, razor wire, and electronic detection. I do see Israel taking care of the ISIS problem I believe, on its borders soon because of Psalm 83, and then extending its borders as called for in Ezekiel 38:14. Then Israel is attacked by Iran, as I already stated, but God will intervene. Now, Turkey, with the help from the United States, has stepped up its airstrikes on its border with Syria, which also affects the Kurds in Iraq, who is also fighting ISIS in the area, but Turkey doesn't like the Kurds anyhow, so isn't careful who they target. But you might be thinking, well, who will stop ISIS over here? You know, they have threatened us as well, and with cyber attacks too. Well, probably not our government, because President Obama takes his orders from the New World Order elite, who want chaos, for out of chaos comes order. The New World Order will be the answer. And perhaps that will be the message of Pope Francis in September on Yom Kippur. If it is, we'll have already left. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad about that? Now, if you're not glad, you better get saved. But many skirmishes are going on, and don't forget Saudi Arabia is still striking the Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen. Boko Haram is in Ethiopia, and even closer to home in Mexico, the increase of drug wars is killing many. And apparently the Mexican cartels are now growing GMO marijuana plants. So here come the chemicals, and of course, thank you, Monsanto. But what is also troubling is those who are being arrested by the federal authorities are being caught carrying mega dollars. Yes, U.S. American dollars. Do I need to say more? Okay, enough of that yuck. Let's get into some good study. You know, I am often asked how I know so many details about the end time scenario. Let me say, I am a constant student and learn more all the time. I never stop learning. But it really started over 20 years ago when I began studying our first century Hebraic came along and married paganism. You know, what Jesus did and then what the early Christians were privy to? Some of you might recall, when we were children, Christianity was called Judeo-Christianity. Somehow, through the years, the Judeo was dropped. So I have come to really believe that for any student to really excel in the truths of Scripture, one must also comprehend just a minimal amount of our spiritual heritage. For instance, the appointments made by God for his people. And in actuality, all mankind would benefit in this knowledge. And it's all written down in Leviticus 23 and elsewhere. So once you understand that, you can be very thankful when you see that Jesus literally kept those appointments known as the spring feasts. And soon will keep the fall appointments as well. It's just a no-brainer. By the way, hours upon hours of study can be taken right off my website, shofarministries.net, through the many radio newsletters and teachings that are all archived, and they are still all free. As well, by understanding the phrases or idioms used that Paul and the others also used when writing their letters helps tremendously when studying, and then just one more area of familiarizing oneself with the two calendars they use will get you started on a brand new adventure of getting closer to Jesus, and then adding other typology as you progress. For instance, Hebraic roots combined with Scripture has taught me the very day Mary was incarnated, which is the eighth day of Hanukkah, when John the Baptist was conceived and born at Passover, when Jesus was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Tishri 15, when he was circumcised the eighth day and the last of Tabernacles, 40 days after his birth, he was dedicated, that was on bull 25, as we read in Luke 2:22. And even baptized in the Jordan River was on the first day of the 40 days of Teshuvah, which we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. Teshuvah is a time of repentance and introspection into oneself. And that was on Elul 1, which then as well began his 40 days in the wilderness till Tishri 10, which just happens to be Yom Kippur. How timely. For then in 5 days he would turn 30, his birthday, on the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's, of course, the required age where they could enter into any kind of ministry. Then, precisely 3.5 years later, he died on Nisan 14. He was buried on the 15th. He rose from dead on the 17th, fulfilling the three feasts of Passover. He sent the Holy Spirit on Sivan 6, fulfilling Pentecost. And in the future, we can know he's returning in the fall. First at the rapture, when we meet him in the air. Then the tribulation begins on a Yom Kippur. And the skies will open, and we will return with him. Then 5 days later, the millennial kingdom will begin on earth, and we will be his queen to rule and reign with him. So says Revelation 5. Verse 10. Again, even just a limited amount of Hebraic roots helped me to grasp typology and that the Antichrist is a counterfeit Christ who will sit in the temple and declare himself God on Palm Sunday or Nisan 10, like Jesus did by letting the Jews call him king. And by the way, that was the only time he let them. You see, when you know Palm Sunday or Nisan 10 is the middle of the tribulation, that also confirms the tribulation will begin exactly 3.5 years before, which is Tishri 10 or Yom Kippur, which I already said would mean that Jesus with his wife now will return to earth, also on a Yom Kippur, which will be the fulfillment of that fall feast. And you know, James 5 also refers to the fact that Jesus returns in the fall, when the harvest comes in. So, let me summarize. I'm going to say that if you can learn just a smidgen of your Judeo-Christian heritage, like some simple phraseology, the calendar, and his appointments, we call his feasts, that will be a huge addition to a deeper study of his word, which I can assure you really pleases the Lord. Now, I must take this time to also caution you not to get too far with it and thinking you must be under the law of the Old Testament or Torah, because that's not for his bride. We learn about it, however, because it's in the Bible, of course. And that's so that we can know Jesus better and then thank him for being that ultimate sacrifice so that we are no longer required. And you can understand that we are no longer required to be under the law, because he came to fulfill every aspect of it. That's why God gave them the law, so they would recognize Jesus in his fulfillment. So, saints, rejoice in your freedom by obeying his only two commandments now, and they're two commandments of love. In his own words, in Matthew 22:37-40, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, what do we mean by the law and the prophets? Well, first of all, the law was contained in the Torah. That was the first five books written by Moses. And the prophets entail the rest of the Bible. Because actually, all other writers of Scripture were indeed inspired men. And that's really what prophet means. The word is Nabi, and it means an inspired person, inspired by God, to write the rest of the word. So basically, I'm going to say it again, these two commandments encompass the whole Bible, and it's commandments of love. You love God first by showing him your love, by being in his word, to know as much as you can about him. That's what pleases him. And in Proverbs, it talks about how he hides things so that you can find them. Because when you're looking for them, you're spending time with him. And that's what pleases him. Please, I beg you, don't let the cares of this life get in the way of your personal Bible study with him. And by incorporating some Hebraic roots, it will take you on a wonderful journey. So, let me just close with saying this. Precious ones, if there's anybody out there listening and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, and I say biblical because there's a lot of cults out there that are saying they believe in Jesus, but it's not the biblical Jesus, it's another Jesus, and you must know the difference. Our Jesus died for us, and he is God, not created by God, and all the other cults will say that he was created. Now, remember, again, Christ died on the cross for all of us, for you too. And if you were the only one, he would have died for you as well. Then he went through hell for you. He even stands today at the door of your heart. If you don't know him, he's knocking right now. And he's saying, just like Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." He's knocking right now, but he will never crash the door down. It's your move, and believe me, we are beneficiaries of the truest, biggest love story of all. It was written in his blood on a wooden cross, erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Also very important, if you even wonder whether you are saved, you know, you might only have a head knowledge of him because you know it's the right thing to do, but you've never really had a true heart conviction. You know, if you don't desire to be in his word, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. Because if you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. And now let me close with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarakaka Adonai v'yishmeraka, Ya'er Adonai panaz. Yasei Adonai Panav Eleka V'yasem Laha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who really love her shall prosper in all areas of your life. That's from Psalm 122, verse 6. So keep looking up.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.